Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about... Yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox. Judy Hare was a bankrupt, homeless, drug-addicted college dropout on the brink of divorce, but is now a seminary graduate and devoted wife and mother of four children. What happened? Find out in her autobiography, Shattered: How God Restored My Heart and Life. Her journey of faith has been called brutally honest, truly inspiring, profound, heartbreaking, and life-changing. Shattered is available now for only $15 on her website, judyhare.com, on amazon.com, or at your local Catholic bookstore. As Judy says, it is never too late to become the person you deserve and desire to be. So stop wishing for change and start doing something about it by reserving your copy of Shattered today. Welcome to Journey with Judy, a weekly podcast filled with faith-infused inspiration, information, and an opportunity for implementation. Now, here is speaker, coach, author, and host, Judy Hare.
Welcome to the Journey with Judy webinar, and I am Judy Hare. I'm your host of this tonight's webinar. It is May 27, 2020. And our topic tonight is just do it. My friends, we all know where that comes from. Just do it. If it was easy enough to just do it, we would all be doing it. My gift to you is inspiration, information, and opportunities for implementation. And your gift to me is share this message with anyone that you think might be blessed by it. So we are in part two of a two-part series. Last week, we talked about how to get from here to there. And then I left you there, kind of just left you there on the edge of the cliff and said, tune in next week for the absolute how to get from here to there. So driving, all right, we talked about driving, DWIs. Tonight we're going to talk about OWIs. And so my driving, like my technology, is just typically not my thing. I add time every time. So when my kids used to be in the car with me, we would follow the GPS, God's protective system, as I call it, wherever it would lead us. And my kids would always say, Mom, when I drive with you, it always adds like a lot of time. And when I drive with Dad, the time shaves off. So interestingly enough, that has been my history, that it's always in a state of like the car spinning in the recalculating mode. And constantly the woman in the little black box is saying, make a U-turn, turn around. And so when I follow the GPS, even though it seems like it's not taking me to where I intend to go, oftentimes it gets me to exactly where I need it to be. So last week we talked about direction not necessarily always getting us to where we want to be, meaning our direction is indicative of where we're heading, not always absolutely where we are going to end up. So we talked about a DWI, and in this case, that is a really good thing. That's when we are driving or when we have direction with intention. So I have been accused of DWIs and OWIs. I've never been convicted of either, actually, because I am that driver who seems to never be knowing where they're going. And I shared with you last week how someone followed me to the radio station to ask me if I was drunk driving. And I just said, no, these are my driving skills. So the thing about direction with intention is we have a better chance of getting where we intend to go when we have direction with intention. So direction with intention oftentimes dictates the destination. So this is very obvious in geography, where we're headed with intention gets us to where we want to go. In life, it doesn't seem to be as clear when we are trying to get to a particular destination and then we wonder why we got rerouted and why we ended up somewhere that we didn't want to be, right? So we talked last week about nobody sets out to destroy their situations, whether it's relationships, finances, their professional life, their academic life. I just believe that we don't set out to destroy. What I do believe is that we are not intentional, and therefore we end up where we didn't intend to be. So the big things usually come from the little things that we weren't intentional about. We talked last week about how compromise does not lessen the tension. What it actually does is it weakens our resolve. So when we make a little crack, we have now opened the door, weakened our resolve, believing that it just lessened the tension, which is not, it's just not the case. We know that there is only one way to coast, right? I did not end up bankrupt, drug addicted, homeless, and in a marriage that imploded because I was operating in the path of direction with intention. Somewhere along the line, I didn't recalculate and get back on track. So I remember when my son was young and he had a computer in his room. He was a teenager and the computer was there for him and his brother to do his homework, their homework. And I remember my son saying to me, just remove the computer. It's way too tempting, which is so interesting to me because we know scripture says that when we resist a temptation, when we resist the devil, he flees. And so it made perfect sense to me to continue to put our children into situations where they could choose good over evil, where they could recognize that direction without intention would lead them somewhere where they didn't want to be. I also shared about the ways in which I tried to control so our children would not end up on a path that ended similar to mine and Bob's. So we had driving, dating, college, and phone agreements, okay? They called them contracts. I liked agreement. It seemed so much more agreeable. Of course, they never agreed to anything that we put in these agreements. The idea was that we would see trouble coming from last week's talk, and we would help them avoid a potential pitfall as a result of putting these things in place, right? We talked about direction with intention, DWIs. The D stood for decide and do. The W stood for wisdom, right? Godly wisdom. Wisdom that defies logic. Wisdom that is not seeable or understandable to the outside world. So wisdom was the W. And I was intention, intentionality. And the S, if we did our DWI, we ended up not seeking shelter from the storm, rather safety in the presence of God. Okay. So we don't intend to ruin our life. We don't intend for our marriages to implode, our relationships to not be what they thought we thought they were going to be. However, if we do not operate with intentionality, that's tonight's OWI, operating with intentionality, that's planning, that's leaning in, it's preparing, and it is trusting in the Lord's promises over the promises of people, which, as we know, oftentimes let us down. So here's the thing about sustaining direction with intention or operating with intentionality. Sustaining it is always easier than regaining it, right? Sustaining something is easier than losing it and trying to get it back, okay? So our verse for tonight, my friends, is from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. And here's what's so crazy. I opened up my Bible because I wanted to read what the title of this chapter was, and it's entitled, An Attitude Towards God. It says, do not forget my teaching, keep in mind my commands. Why, do we ask? Well, the Lord says, because for many days and years of your life, you will have peace. I love that. So our verse is, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So if all of that means that is our overall attitude towards God, like, how cool is that if we literally had that disposition and attitude towards God? Because here's the thing. When insight, information, and intentions are insufficient, what do? When we gather insight, we gather information, and we have good intentions, and we have this bucket that still doesn't get us to where we want to go, what do we do? How do we know what to do? How do we know which path to take? How do we know how to get where it is that we want to be? The first verse says to trust in the Lord. Okay? Some of us have grown weary. Some of us have gotten really tired of trusting. Trust, the acronym I came up with for trust, is true resolve under severe testing. So if trust is true resolve under severe testing, this scripture says we choose that over fear. We choose to trust in the Lord with our all of our heart, right? Some of us trust with a little part, not the whole heart. It's very specific to say with all of it. You got to trust him with all of it. Because your heart, my friends, is where it all starts. In every single category, every choice, every time, this scripture is saying we rely on God and not on our own understanding. We are trusting in God and not believing he's like all the other people who proved not to be trustworthy. See, trust, by definition, it says it's protection. It's a firm belief in the reliability. See, God is reliable, which is why we can trust him. I think some of us get tripped up believing that he's not reliable because our tangible experiences of trust have been betrayed and broken and fractured time and time again. See, if we're trusting, it doesn't mean we're not wondering how he's going to work it out. If we're trusting, it doesn't mean we absolutely can see the path. If we're trusting, we are believing that God has got this. I know in my own life that when I chose to trust God for an outcome that seemed absolutely impossible, and so incredibly improbable, that's when I held on tighter than I ever could. and was delivered to a place of freedom like I have never, ever felt. See, left to my own devices, my friends, I'm a crasher and a burner. I don't care if I'm driving an SUV, it doesn't matter. I crash and I burn, not some of the time, every single time. The second verse is, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. See, there's this belief that if we trust God, it's going to get easier. That's our finite understanding of how God works, because my kids heard it their whole life. Oh, baby, it's going to get better. But sometimes it gets so much worse before it gets better. And that's kind of when we stop trusting. See, leaning in means we're not looking at things through our perspective. See, our perspective of God is typically formed by our attitudes and our experiences, and I hope that it keeps evolving. However, we never really get to a place where we can get our whole heart and our whole mind around the ability to trust God, who is the most reliable. I used to say that I thought I was the Trinity, me, myself, and I. Like, I literally thought I was the Trinity to count on. Me, myself, and I. My plan seemed to be best. In our house, we respectfully call this guy Akia. You know why? That stands for a know-it-all. My man knows everything about everything. Just ask him. He will tell you. He knows everything about everything. And I mean that with no disrespect. It's literally when my man speaks, he speaks with conviction. And so when we're relying on Bob or ourselves, rather than leaning into an understanding beyond both of those things, we have this limited belief that we know more than God does. See, I've had to lean on my Lord rather than my own understanding when it comes to my kids' well-being, when it comes to how we would possibly rebuild a marriage that was broken and shattered in 50 billion pieces. See, leaning means you prop up against something. You prop up against it. You, like, get up in there so no matter what, you're not going to fall. See, when we lean in, there's something that says I'm trusting that I'm not going to fall. See, we have a lot of people in our life who tell us what we should do. And Katie, I don't know if you'll believe me. I think you believe me. Literally on this list I wrote, my beautiful friend Katie, way back when, was leaning on understanding that didn't make sense to me. See, it doesn't have to make sense to us when somebody else is leaning in ways that seem crazy. Because if they're trusting in the Lord with their whole heart, then leaning in is the second part. I remember back in the day, we had some really strict rules for our kids, and we made it clear the result of not obeying the rules was military school. So, my son, he didn't obey the rules. My friends, I want you to know within 24 hours, we had marched our son right off to military school. Now, there was an interview process, and it happened to be, it was towards the end of their school year. So they agreed to take him. We were ready to take him and ship him off to military school when a prayer warrior of mine reached out and said, hey, I don't think that this is going to be best for your son. I know you think so, because I was leaning on my own understanding and I wanted to follow the rule and follow through on what I said. And she spoke truth into my life and said, this might not be best for him. To be able to take that godly wisdom, and what she said was, I believe this will take him further away from God rather than closer to God. And that's all I needed to say, her to say, to be able to revisit the whole thing. Because back in the day, I was not willing to step back and hear another opinion. I wasn't pressed in the way I am today, leaning in and saying, okay, Jesus, you got this better than me and Bob and all of my friends put together. Because this thing about direction is, it begins with submission. See, submission is different than surrender. When we surrender, it's waving a white flag and saying, I've tried everything. I give up. Submission is deciding long before we even try that trusting in him with our whole heart and leaning into his understanding, it's likely we will have a different result. Our third verse is, in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. See, God wants us to factor in all parts of the equation, relationally, emotionally, financially, all of the parts he wants submitted to him. You know, sometimes we're like, well, you can have all this, but we're holding behind our back the one or two things that we just don't want to give him. Or acknowledge that he might know better and do better than we ever could. Because when we're acknowledging, the definition of acknowledging is recognizing the existence of power. To acknowledge, God says, you got this in ways that I never could, because I am recognizing the existence of your power in this situation. So the thing about God is he's a jealous lover and he wants to do what we can't do. And he wants us to submit it beforehand. Like just to say, here, I trust you with this, because he gets the first say, the last say, and everything in between when we let him. Here's what I love about doing that. When I literally submit to God everything, and I will tell you, when I learned the concept of submission versus surrender, my prayer quickly went from surrendering, believing that I had tried and given up, to submitting long before, and then just saying to God, like, you know and you love and you want more than I could ever know and love and want for me, for my marriage, for the kids, for my ministry, for everything. So go ahead and do what only you can do. And then here's a beautiful thing. Then you can blame him if it doesn't work out. So I love that part to say, Jesus, I totally trusted in you. And if this didn't go as I planned, I trust it went exactly as you planned. Because when we are not faithful in plan A, God shows up to be faithful in plan B. So this acknowledgement, this recognition of power in our marriages, in our money, our morality, our parenting, our professional life. He just said, just honor me. Honor me because I am God and I can do what you cannot do. Here's the thing. When it comes to the driving part, right? And if I'm letting the Lord drive, then it doesn't matter the conditions because I know he's got me. See, in my life, the conditions dictate my disposition. When it gets a little stormy, a little snowy, I'm ready to turn back and go home. And God is saying, hey, like, I'm not your shelter from the storm. I'm the shelter in the storm. So do not let the conditions of the marriage, of the money, of the parenting, of the whatever dictate your disposition, because I got this. I got this in ways that you can't even imagine. Our last part of this verse is, when you acknowledge him in all your ways, that he will direct the path. I'll never forget how desperately one of our children, our first child, wanted to go play college football. So many people said to him, come on, look at you. You really think that that dream is going to become a reality? And I think for many conversations, he said yes. until so many people planted so many seeds of doubt that his emphatic yes became a no. And I'll never forget how Bob and I held on to that dream like it was our dream, because we knew that we knew that we knew that if it was God's plan, that he would direct our son's path. Some of you know the story, long story short. When he ended up going to play football at a Division I level, he called me and he said, "Mom, I got my jersey. I'm number 37. Of course, I started bawling because I'm a numbers person, and I always look back to find the meaning in a number. And of course, if I look up a scripture and it's not life-giving, I just scratch it and find another scripture with that same number, because I know that God works all things out for our good and his glory. And I knew number 37 without even looking it up. And it is to delight in the Lord and lean not on your own desires. And he gives you, like when you delight in the Lord, he gives you your heart's desire. So when he gave my son a number, there was 99 numbers that my son could have got when he walked in the locker room. He got number 37 because God directed his path and led him to places he would have never otherwise gone. And without operating with intentionality and having direction with intention, it would have never ended up. See, my boy would have crashed and burned freshman year when he went off the beaten path. And when we go off the path, God's got these guardrails so we can like bump into it and get back on track so he can get us to our final destination. But some of us just keep hitting the guardrail over and over and not getting back on track, because those little things that we ignore all of a sudden become these big things that we can't seem to figure out how we got here. And if we're being honest, we know exactly how we got here. When I used to drive with one of my children, they would always put on the hazard. Like when they got in the car with me, they would push the hazard because they felt like anyone who was driving around me would want to know that I am a hazard to drive with. See, when God is directing the path, there's no hazard. The detour was planned. The construction ahead, the yield sign, the slow, the going the wrong way, like all of that was absolutely planned and prepared for your highest and best good. And when we are following the path, we know that we know that we know that it's the path. And it doesn't matter who comes in and speaks something to the contrary, because we have trusted in the Lord with our whole heart. We've leaned not on understanding from the world or from another person. And in all the ways, the whole time, we acknowledged him, trusted him to have the power to bring the path to completion. See, I don't want to look back and wish and wonder why I didn't do something. I want to know that I know that the direction with the intention will get me to far greater places than I ever would have got without acknowledging God. Because what we leave behind, my friends, always pales in comparison to what lies ahead. That word acknowledge also means to be mindful. So to be mindful, to mindfully be navigating that God has got this, puts us in a different position to lean in faith and trust versus pulling away. It allows us to have true resolve under severe testing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Has anybody ever taken a compass and put a magnet to it? If you take a magnet and put it on a compass, the compass goes like this. It literally like shakes like this as you're as the magnet comes closer and closer to it. That's what I feel like my life was like for so many years. I had no idea which direction to go in, and I followed oftentimes my feelings. See, the thing about our feelings, my friends, is they change. They change with the wind. Feelings are not facts. Facts don't change. See, this verse is not saying don't plan and don't prepare, be passive and sit back. It says plan and prepare like it depends on you, and trust like it depends on God. It's saying you gather insight, you gather wisdom, you store it all up, and you trust that your hopes and dreams will be exactly what God's hopes and dreams are for you, because He will lead you directly to that place. So today I plan and I pray, and I also get a few different directions to ensure the path from godly people that I know are so close to Jesus. They got like a direct connect to Him. like a direct link for those times where I might not be hearing so clearly. See, we want to end up there, which means we have to trust. Trust that He's going to lead us, guide us, protect, and provide for us so we can be prudent, see danger coming. Because the prudent see danger and take refuge. The simple keep going and end up suffering. So my friends, our journey ends here. Thank you so much for choosing to journey with Judy on this podcast. I ask you to share it if you were blessed by it in any way. And feel free to reach out. That invitation is without expiration and, of course, without any expectation. You can reach me either through my website or any of the social media platforms. And we look forward to journeying again together next week. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Journey with Judy. To learn more about Judy's coaching ministry, receive a complimentary session, and other services she offers, visit judyhare.com. If you enjoyed today's episode, please share it with a friend. And remember, it's never too late to be who God called you to be. Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Have you ever been put on the spot and asked to explain or defend Catholic teaching on sensitive topics such as abortion, same-sex marriage, or the Eucharist? What to Say and How to Say It is a straightforward and practical resource by Brandon Vogt, best-selling and award-winning author of Why I Am Catholic and You Should Be Too. He offers essential tools for articulating even the most contentious aspects of your Catholic faith with clarity and confidence. You can get a copy of this important new book at AveMariaPress.com. Use code TALKFAITH to get 25% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.